Good morning, good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning with tremendous gratitude to our dear friends, Michael and Marilyn Fedak, for sponsoring 10 Minutes of Meaning. Please help yourself to coffee, slushy pastry in Reb Shaila's corner and enjoy our 10 minutes or so, approximately, Chabad 10 minutes of Tanya. And today we are beginning Perek Dal, the fourth Perek of Tanya. Baruch Hashem, Alan is back, incomplete without him. His shlichus is here. So it's good to have you back. We've been describing the different parts, not really parts of souls, we've really been describing the different parts of ourselves, which are the multiple souls that we have. The nefesh bahami, the animal instinct, the animal impulse, the animal drive, the animal temptation, that which we have in common with animals, which again the Baal HaTanya was mechadesh, that our goal is not to shecht or destroy or purge or eliminate, our goal is to train and our goal is to elevate. Is an animal good or bad? The answer is, it depends. If you let it run wild, if it's destructive, an animal's bad. If you train it and it serves a purpose, it can help you plow your field, it can protect your family, an animal is good. The animal in us is neither good or bad. It needs to be trained and elevated in order to serve us. And then the chelek alakom imal mamish, of course, the essence of who we are. And back in Perek Beis, the Baal HaTanya described, Perek Gimel, the Baal HaTanya described that we have the 10 bechinos based on the 10 spheros. There are 10 spheros, a little above me. It's another way of saying a lot above me, not for now. There are the 10 spheros, but they manifest themselves as the 10 bechinos. What is a bechina? It means that a person has within them their unique personality, paradigm, perspective, what we call colloquially the shorash haneshama, the root and the essence of our soul. What speaks to your shorash haneshama? It means not how you perform for the world, not what you wear and let the world see, not the external manifestation of who you are, but the shorash haneshama, the essence and essential of who you are. Those are the bechinos, the 10 bechinos. They're made up within the spheros we saw at the beginning of Perek Gimel, I think it was. We saw that there are made up of the 3 imos and the sheva kvulos, which make up the 10 bechinos that are in a person. Well, that's a background too. Perek Dalet. And with that, we begin Perek Dalet. And with Perek Dalet, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, is trying to help us understand is, where do our thoughts fit in? I know that when I speak to you, that's external to me. What I choose to articulate, what I choose to put into words, what I choose to communicate is how I'm choosing to let you know me. That's external manifestation of me. Those are speech. Action as well. How I act, how I behave, what is my brand? We gave a Shabbat Shuvah drasha once about you are what you do. Who cares what you want to do? You are what you do. You are, don't tell me what you want to do, don't tell me what you believe. What you do is who you are. So what we do is what we're choosing to express to manifest as external. Where do thoughts fit in? The thoughts that we have. The conversation we have with ourselves. Another Shabbat Shuvah drasha we gave was about Bein Adam La'atzmo, our relationship with ourselves. And we began that science and research shows that people say, I think it was between 3 and 4 million words to themselves a day. The conversation with ourselves from when we wake up in the morning. Should I hit snooze? Should I not hit snooze? Stay in bed, wake up. Which minion should I go to? Wear this, wear that. Come on time, be late. React this way, not react this way. The inner conversation with ourselves, we speak more to ourselves than everyone else we speak to combined. There's an ongoing conversation with ourselves. So those thoughts, that ongoing conversation, eat this, react that way, go there, do this, watch that, wake up, snooze, sleep in, be on time, run late. The thoughts you're having right now as I'm speaking, where you're processing what I'm saying, is he a moron? What is he talking about? Is he right? I never thought of that. I wish he would end already. He hasn't even started. He claims that we're learning Tanya. He hasn't read one word. Whatever the thoughts that you're having right now, where would you characterize those? Are they part of your inner world or outer world? Are they the shorash haneshama, the thoughts? Or are they like speech and action, how you manifest to the world? Where do you put thoughts? It's a powerful question. It's an interesting question. If we don't have self-awareness, if we don't ask and think about that question, if we don't try to regulate and be mindful of our thoughts, then who are we really? So I know we haven't started yet, but we really have said everything. That this is the question that the Baal HaTanya is getting to in Perek Dalet. I would humbly submit and suggest to you. And the chiddush of the Baal HaTanya of the Alter Rebbe is that he says that those inner thoughts in fact are, where do they belong, how are they characterized? They're part of the levush. They're part of the levush. They're not the inner world, they're the outer world. Odesh l'chol nefesh elokish shlosh levushim. Every divine soul possesses three garments. In other words, the sharash ha'neshama, the bechina of who you are, your neshama, your pure, unadulterated, innocent, chelek elika mimal namish, the essence of who you are, a manifestation, an expression, unique and distinct of Hashem in this world, it has three garments that it wears. What are these three garments? Shei machshava dibor u'maisa shel tarig mitzvos ha'Torah. Every thought, spoken word, or deed devoted to tarig mitzvos are in fact external. They're external. We have two souls. The animal soul is self-oriented. We're going to get into that this Shabbos. Little preview, spoiler alert. This Shabbos Shuvah Drasha is about the ego. Ego, I haven't decided yet if the title is Ego is the Enemy or Is Ego the Enemy. And the reason I haven't decided is because the Tanya is confusing me. Ego seems to be categorically bad. Ego interferes in our relationships with others, with Hashem, with ourselves. Ego gets in the way and sabotages so much personally, professionally. And yet, maybe it's Is Ego the Enemy? Because can you train ego? Is the ego part of the animal soul? Or is the ego, a healthy ego in a sense of self, part of the godly soul? So can the ego be trained to serve you? Is ego bad or can ego be good? Stay tuned. Shabbos Shuvah. Move to Boca in time for Shabbos Shuvah. Anyway, Shei Machshava Dibur Maisha Shaig Mitzvos HaTorah. So Machshava is one of the levush. The thoughts that we have is one of the garments that we wear. When a person practically observes all the action-related mitzvos, speech is easy and obvious. Right now, we're speaking out Torah. Right now, we're learning Torah. So speech, tefillah, Torah, that's obvious manifestation of tariag. And in thought, you immerse yourself through whatever you can grasp, at whatever level of pardes, pshat, remesh, drash, and sod, four levels of understanding the same Torah text, whichever you can grasp, whichever speaks to you, wherever you lose yourself in thought, that thought also is a levush of the neshama. It isn't the neshama. Hare klalos tariga evari nafsham melubashim etarig mitzvah haTorah. And your whole divine soul, including 613 subcomponents, is dressed through the garments of action, speech, and thought in the 613 mitzvahs of Torah. Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. We got to unpack the clothing. If these are the clothing, we got to unpack the clothing. So there's a lot to unpack here. So first of all, when the Baal HaTanya talks about each of us have connection to the Taryag, to 613, and through Machshava Dibor Maisa, each of us can manifest, experience, identify with, connect the Taryag, what does he mean? I'm not a Kohen. I'm not Rabbi Brand. I'm not Alan Berger. I don't want to miss any. I'm not a Yal. I don't want to miss any other Kohanim. I'm not a Kohen. I can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash, I can't duchen, I'm not a Kohen. There is no Beis HaMikdash, even the Kohen can't. I'm not this category, that category. I hope to never fulfill in my lifetime, I hope to never ever fulfill the mitzvah of Gerushin, of getting divorced. I hope to never fulfill the mitzvah of Yibun or Chalitza. There are many mitzvahs that we don't do. So what does it mean when we talk about Taryag? So that, the commentaries on Tanya explain and point out, not only on Tanya, it's a bigger, broader idea, that's when we connect Klal Yisrael, Achdus, when we collaborate and complement one another, collectively we can fulfill Taryag. You live in Israel, Mitzvah Zatulius Bar, it's outside of Israel. One person can't fulfill all Taryag. That's by design. That's not only by circumstance, it's not only a concession. Oh, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Oh, there's no this. Oh, there's no that. No, even when you had everything, no one person could do it all because you can't fit every category. When we combine, when we unite, when we complement, when we see ourselves as different limbs and organs of one body, the left arm doesn't say, I can't do it, the right arm's doing it. The left arm says, we are doing it. Because the right arm and left arm are part of the same body. So when you see yourself as part of and connected with the totality and the collection and the community of Klal Yisrael, then we, our whole body, of its different limbs and organs, we are capable of connecting and fulfilling Taryag. Others say, what does the Rebbe mean? What do we mean when we talk about all of us connecting to Taryag? What we mean is, when we learn about each mitzvah, even if we can't perform it, even if we're not in the category, we don't have the criteria to perform it or fulfill it, when we speak about it, when we learn it, when we connect with it. Right? There's a mitzvah of a melech. The melech has to have two sifrei Torah, the melech can't have too much of this. Only one, how many people in all of history fulfilled the mitzvah of the melech? But if you realize that, Ich bin a melech, I also have malchus, I'm also a king. I'm a king of my domain. I'm a king of my home. I'm a king of my life. Nobody crowned me as king. Not the guy. Again, we'll talk about that Shabbat Shuvah. Not the gaiva of a king, but the anivus of a king. I have the responsibility. I have the mission of a king. Then okay, what I learn and extract and extrapolate about the laws of the king, they apply to me too. So however you want to explain the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe is saying the 613. But I want to go back to the notion of the garment. Of the garment. Because here, I think Rabbi Steinsaltz does another phenomenal job of explaining. Again, we discussed in the beginning of Perek Yimel the 10 bechinos of the soul, the three mothers and the seven multiples, kfelos, corresponding to the 10 sphiros. We'll leave that aside. I'll pretend because we don't have time now, and you'll indulge me to believe that the reason is because we don't have time now, but also because I'm not really holding in the spheros. But in any case, the garments are the means through which the soul expresses itself. Writes Rabbi Steinsaltz, like the clothes that a person wears in order to relate to other people, the metaphor of garment stresses the dual nature of every manifestation. To manifest is both to reveal and to conceal. Think about it. When you woke up this morning and in that inner conversation where you talked about, you chose what to wear. You chose what to wear. When you chose what to wear, what garment to put on, you were both revealing and concealing at the same time. How? The garment facilitates a person's revelation of himself to others. Without your garments, you wouldn't be showing yourself. You'd be showing too much of yourself, but you wouldn't be showing your personality. What you're wearing right now, you know, which style, which fashion, which community, are you casual? Are you formal? Are you fancy? Are you not fancy? Are you wearing colored? Are you wearing black and white? Who do you want to connect with? So much what we choose to what we wear is the uniform. Yet at the same time, it conceals the wearer. For one sees not the person, but the garments. So the garment is both covering you and concealing you, and it's also revealing you. Deep, no? Another aspect of the analogy is the synonym between the person and his clothes, the fact that the clothes mirror the person. The clothes are external to the person, but they duplicate the character of the wearer. So unlike the tikkunim, the levushim constitute the outer expressions of the soul and are distinct from it. The soul has the choice whether to dress itself in them or not, just as a person can clothe himself in a garment or remove it without affecting any change in himself. Whether you put on that clothing or don't put on that clothing, it doesn't change the essence of who you are. Who you are without clothing is not changed by what you wear. By what you wear. Even if you're putting on Spanx, it's just changing how others see you, but it's not actually changing what's under the Spanx. I'm talking to a group of men. You don't know what it is, but...
What is Spanx?
Baruch Hashem.
But don't we say clothes? The clothes make a man?
Yes, Parshas Tetzaveh, L'shem L'sifares, the big day Kahuna. There's a whole Torah about the clothing and the clothing make the man, the uniform we identify with, and how we treat and take care of our clothing. Yes. And what we wear, that's the revealing part of what we wear. Clothing make the man in the sense that you are revealing through the uniform you're choosing to wear. I once had a neighbor. Before I lived in the home I'm living in now, I lived in a different house in a different subsection of our beautiful Montoya Circle community. And I had a neighbor. Boca was very different at the time. Montoya Circle was very different at the time. I had a neighbor lived across the street, Jewish and not observant, but a beautiful holy soul. She had lots of tattoos and piercings and dressed in very funky ways. And she surrounded herself with friends like that. And, you know, we interacted and we invited and wanted to have over and to, you know, create a connection, our neshamas to connect, Yecheved and I and she and her family. And she would reference that her appearance was because she's an individual. She's an individual. She's not going to conform to society. You know, I'm talking about those huge earrings that change the shape of your earlobe. She's not going to conform to society. She's an individual. Then she made a birthday party for her child, and all her friends came over. And I saw all her friends were non-conforming individuals exactly like her. And I realized she's also conforming just to a different society. So we're all, even the non-conformists who are trying to be individuals are part of and wearing the uniform of the individual non-conforming society. But we're all, so that's the uniform, the clothing make the person, we used to be able to say man, they make the man, the person, in the sense that we are revealing our uniform. We're revealing our uniform. But they're also concealing because sometimes they can throw you off. You look like, in Israel they used to call that a krembo. What was a krembo? Anyone ever eat a krembo in Israel? Krembo is black on the outside and white on the inside. So someone who dresses like yeshivish on the outside, but when you get to know them and it turns out their hashkafas on the inside, so they label such a person a krembo. On the outside, you look one way, but we start to talk hashkafas. You see who you are, a little bit different, a little surprising, a little non-predictable on the inside. So the role of clothing. So the Baal Tanya, the Alter Rebbe here is talking, the speech is the clothing means what I'm saying is what I'm letting you know about me. It's revealing, I'm saying something. It's what I want you to know of me, but it's concealing. You're not getting to the essence of me. My actions are revealing. Through my actions, it's my brand. You get to know who I am. What I do is who I am. But I'm also concealing, because what am I holding back? What am I not doing? The big chiddush here, and I guess we'll pick up with it next time, because he expands it here in Perek Daled, is where does thought fit in? Where does machshava fit in? Because machshava, you don't get access to. The thoughts are inner conversation with myself, and I would have thought that is a bechina of the shorash haneshama. The thought, the conversation I'm having with myself is my soul. And the Alter Rebbe is saying, way ahead of his time in understanding mental health and IFS and inner talk and all the things that we're doing now, the Alter Rebbe already here in Perek Daled is getting to, is that thoughts also are part of the outer world. The thoughts that come to us, the thoughts that are generated in us, but they're not necessarily us. There are all kinds of unhealthy thoughts people have. Anxiety and worry, insecurity, self-doubt, unworthiness. There are kinds of thoughts that people have that are drives and temptations to do grossly inappropriate things. Those thoughts are also external to us. And we can regulate them and we can control them and we're in charge of them and we can decide which ones we let in. Thought also is part of the levush. It's a garment. You put on the garment, you can take off the garment, and you choose which garment to wear, what to reveal and what to conceal. And thought belongs in the category of the garment, not of the essence of the Shorash and Neshama. Very powerful and very empowering, because it's incredibly empowering to our interaction with those thoughts. Until now I would have said, I can't control, and people do say, I can't control the thoughts I have. I can't control. It's my nature. It's my essence. It's who I am. I can't control my thoughts. Who said we can't control? Who said we can't learn to condition? Who said we can't channel and we can't train our thoughts and our thinking? We can when we realize that they're a garment, that they're external. If they're internal and my essence, my shorash and neshama, I concede, I surrender, I can't control them. But when I realize they're a garment, I wear, I put on, I take off, I reveal, I conceal, now if it's a garment, I'm in control. It's not only powerful, it's incredibly empowering. And what that means and where we go with it, we'll talk about it a little bit this Motzei Shabbos. Again, if you're in Boca, it's not being streamed and it's not being recorded, but Dr. Moshe Winograd and I, a therapist and a rabbi, are having an honest conversation for men, Motzei Shabbos before Slichos, on masculinity, vulnerability, and temptation. So much of a problem of men today in today's world is that the world is forcing us, encouraging us, requiring us to perform. Many men are wearing a lot of garments. They're living a performative life. What I'm supposed to say, how I'm supposed to appear, what I'm supposed to do, and they're not willing to be vulnerable and true. So, and then what happens when you bottle and you're not vulnerable and you're not honest and you're not in your essence, when you're living a performative life, is eventually it bubbles up and expresses itself in unhealthy ways. Acting out in unhealthy ways, substances that are unhealthy, reacting in unhealthy ways. And if we can learn that masculinity is actually vulnerability, it will help us overcome temptation. We're going to have a conversation Motzei Shabbos, 10:15 p.m. with pizza here at Boca Raton Synagogue before Slichos. So we'll get into that, what role the thoughts play in that. Where do thoughts fit in with that? It's a brilliant insight of the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya. May it be a day of Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos, Venechamos. Amen.